What if I told you weight loss is not about willpower, cutting carbs, or working harder in the gym, but instead comes down to flipping a specific switch in your body, one that helps flush out unnecessary calories? Heart surgeon and nutrition expert Dr. Stephen Gundry is revealing a new, simple, but insanely effective way to help get a slim, energized, and healthy body with no deprivation, restrictions, or fads. MCT Wellness can help you flip that switch yourself from the comfort of your own home. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. All you do is add a scoop to water and enjoy. Help unlock your body's potential by going to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of The Wrap right here on the Fight Game Media Network. Happy Wednesday morning to you all as we're back here recapping the week so far in WWE's. We got two shows down the pipeline for WWE: NXT Halloween Havoc going down next Sunday, October 27th. Then we got Crown Jewel in Saudi Arabia in early November, where we will crown two Crown Jewel champions for reasons. I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right hand, the sometimes advocate for the rapidly improving Ms. Jada Parker from NXT. I bring to you back on the Wrap, as always, the one, the only, back to his regular self, back to the norm, not a rarity on a Tuesday night heading into a Wednesday morning. I bring to you back on the Wrap, as always, the one, the only, Salty Scott Young. Welcome back, Salts.
Thank you for having me, as always. It's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. We're going to have a conversation today. Won't be exciting, just like the week of WWE, but we're going to have it.
I think we're going to have like a mild conversation, you know, some things to talk about, but not a whole lot because Monday Night Raw was taped due to the Monday Night Raw crew going overseas for a European tour for the week. So it was like we read the results, looked at the show on Monday. It was all right for what it was. NXT was solid and SmackDown was SmackDown, as we'll get to right now as we talk about the return of Jimmy Uso and his awesome theme music comes out to a great reception in Greenville, South Carolina. Now, Scott, why are you shrugging for the people that can't see? Because you know what? You came on this show many months ago and you sat here and you stand Jimmy's theme song. So what changed in the last 8 months?
I got on the day one team, and now that I'm with day one Oos, the King Jimmy just doesn't hit the same.
As I try to tell you in the beginning of the main event, Jey Uso, who had the catchier theme song, but I was vibing with it. Now, you can't be using them lyrics when you reunite with your brother. You're gonna have to remix that because, yeah. But he comes out, great babyface reception, talks about being out for the last 6 or so months because he was exiled from the bloodline by his own baby brother, Solo Sikoa, and he had to cash in that receipt at Bad Blood a couple of weeks ago in Atlanta, and he's back to basically humble his brother to say, listen, what you did to me wasn't cool, and I wasn't going to stand for it, so I came back for my cousin, the tribal chief, the OTC, Roman Reigns. Roman comes out to actually do something he rarely does. He acknowledges someone other than himself. He acknowledged Jimmy, Big Jim, for coming to the rescue on Saturday. And Jimmy took the bow, says, thank you very much. But he wanted to focus on family business and how Roman has been focusing on the past when they all had the championship gold in WWE. They ran ish there. They were basically the dominant faction in WWE for the last 4 years. And now they have nothing. They have no championships. They have no status. They have really nothing to stand on right now. He lost a wise man. He lost his cousin for a bit. He lost his Ulafala. And Jimmy basically said the same thing. Like, we don't have anything worth anything right now, basically. Everything that we had is gone. And, you know, we need someone. We need help. I can't do it with you just by ourselves. So maybe we need to tap in someone who's been there with us from day one. Someone that's family, too. That has also experienced what it's like to go on their own. And it's Jay. And the fans catch on immediately. And Roman says, no yeet. And then Jimmy's crestfallen at that. And he walks away to end the segment. But it does plant seeds already that it could very well possibly most likely be what we've been saying for the last few months. The new Wolfpack bloodline versus the OG bloodline. War Games at Survivor Series, and the finessing of Jey Uso begins soon.
Yeah, and we'll get to that part as well. And, you know, it's also worth acknowledging that, you know, with all this, we're gonna get a slow burn as far as how this is gonna go. Roman is used to the reunions. He's all about a reunion. He went through the Shield reunion. Now he's about to do his bloodline reunion. So he knows all about getting the reunions, getting the big reactions. So I'm fully expecting that. Jimmy was good. He has good energies. Him and Jay, they both bring a different vibe, which is cool. So this segment worked all around. Very good.
Very good segment. And, you know, we got to get it like a 4-on-4 situation at Survivor Series. So Brother Samuel is going to get the call too. The Honorary Uso is going to get tapped in as well, have a feeling. And it's going to be quite the moment when all of the OG bloodline reunite, Paul Heyman in tow. It is going to be a moment. They're milking it for what it's worth, which is very smart of WWE. Slow burn it. Don't rush it too quickly because you got time between now and Survivor Series. But overall, good segment to kick off the show. And the main event was Jimmy Uso versus the new Tribal Chief, Solo Sikoa, which we'll get to momentarily. Also on SmackDown this past Friday night was a United States Championship match involving LA Knight, the champion, versus Carmelo Hayes. This match was fine for what it was as well. Both guys worked hard. Andrade was at ringside, basically trying to antagonize and goad Carmelo Hayes at various points. He did not directly get involved in the finish physically, but he was definitely there to cause trouble for him in terms of his presence. And it came down to Melo having a couple of opportunities to win this match, and LA Knight doing a fantastic counter to hit the BFT, Blunt Force Trauma, for the victory over Melo. And Melo, I have to say, sells this move like a boss every single time. Just torques the neck, lands on his head, takes the pin, 1-2-3, and it actually will lead to what Scott was doubting for a time. Would there be 7 matches? We will have a 7th match on SmackDown in a couple of weeks. And for reasons, the winner will get another shot at LA Knight and the US Championship, which is choices there because you beat them both pretty handily. But here you go.
I appreciate the fact that they called it a game 7. And, you know, I also want to I just want to know why after each match they keep trying to get each other to work at a burger joint. You know, they keep talking about putting fries in bags, man. Like, are they hungry? Do they want to go to the, like, is that Melo's way of inviting Andrade to a cookout? Like, you going to have, like, I'm just trying to figure out why they trying to get each other to work at the burger joint, you know? But besides that, I'm looking forward to game 7. I hope they give him a good block. Like, you're going to give him game 7 and you're not going to put it on a PLE. You know, you're one of your few colored brothers who actually has a feud going on. But we already talked about that. But It's, but you know, you need to give them a block then. Like you need, they need to have a solid 25 minute block where they can just feel, have as much time as they need, have a great match, pull out all the spots, a couple commercial breaks. They need a solid block of time.
They need 25 to 30, honestly, to kick off SmackDown on a Friday night and just milk it for everything it's worth. We've basically been on this journey for the last, what, 3 months, and every match has been better than the last. And you have to make game seven count the most. This is win or go home, legit. Somebody will stand tall and someone will be a little bit short when it's all said and done. And I want them to dedicate time. I want them to promote this. I want them to really put effort into what was once just a match on SmackDown that got people's attention to a seven match series that managed to elevate both guys. Because we talked in the show for months that Andrade was pretty directionless on SmackDown, found his footing around Money in the Bank. They revamped the entrance. He found his way as a star that can be a difference maker in the upper mid-card scene. Melo was finding his way on SmackDown during the draft, kind of lost and directionless as well. Had a couple of wins here and there, but ultimately he was stagnant for a bit until Money in the Bank, until he got with Andrade and they delivered magic. The chemistry is everything. So I think it's only fair to give them time to work, to culminate this feud with as many comebacks as you can possibly give them. Like, go back from the first match to this match and just let them go out there and just deliver. That's all we're asking for. Give them a solid 25, 30 minutes, minimum two commercial breaks, and we're good.
Yep. Just give them plenty of time. Let them cook. Let the chefs be in the kitchen.
And they will fix you a 5-course meal. That is our hope and prayer. Well, come on.
We're gonna get 4. I think 5 is asking a lot.
And a Michelin star rating of 2 stars. Hey.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You're not wrong.
Hey, at this point, you got to deliver. So I'm here for it in a couple of weeks. Now, Scott talked about, you know, adding some diversity to their PLEs for WWE. And we had a very impassioned debate and discussion on the show last week about what WWE needs to do in terms of improving their representation on their shows. And I sat and I was watching SmackDown Live, and a match was coming up involving Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill, the WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, versus Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson from NXT, a very unique matchup out of nowhere. I was looking forward to it. We had Jakara and Lash come out there for their match. And I love Kevin Owens. Y'all know that love runs deep, that respect runs deep. But of all the times to come out there to interrupt and speak your piece, you pick this moment to hijack SmackDown to say what really happened in that parking lot in Atlanta. And then Cody comes out there, jacket off, ready to brawl too. We got a kerfuffle at ringside.
A what?
A kerfuffle.
Stop.
You know, I got to use the fancy words. We got a kerfuffle at ringside. We had Randy Orton come out there to be the big mediator, trying to be the big peacemaker, saying, let me handle this. Got elbow checked by Kevin, and, you know, and ran and went to swinging on Kevin. And then all of this was happening. And I'm just thinking to myself, are we going to get this tag team match with Jade and Bianca and Lash and Jakara? And thankfully, the kerfuffle ended. Mm. We went to commercial. We come back. We get Jade and Bianca. They're ready to go. And the match starts, and they're cooking. This match is actually starting well, if not great. The chemistry's there. Lash balling out. Jakara doing new things we've never seen before. The chemistry is kimming between the four of them off top. Then we got Chelsea and Piper out there causing trouble. And then Lash boots Chelsea Green, and Michael goes over the top on commentary, leading into Ham Tennessee's Michael, calm down. And then, I don't know, where after Jakara and Lash basically dominated the first 2.5 minutes of this match, Jade and Bianca just hit their finisher in Jakara, and they win in 3 minutes. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, we had this very nuanced discussion about representation, about quality airtime, about good storylines and good feuds and good matches for people of color in WWE. And Triple H had a very rough week the week before last about not seeing color in WWE. Not his finest moment. And then you want to roll around on your TV show as one of the executive producers, one of two, to format and book this match the way that you did. Hopefully there's a follow-up to this, because I see seeds being planted possibly for Halloween Havoc involving Jakar and Lash, Bianca, Jade, possibly Damage Control as well. If that's the end result, I can forgive elements of this. If that's not the end result, I question all of it, because your timing of this sucks based on what you said in that conference on Saturday night. Like, what was the formatting and booking of this? That's all I got to say. It's definitely a choice and not a good one. But I do want to see Bianca and Jay alongside Lash and Jakar run this back, because for what it was, if they had more time, it was actually pretty damn good.
So after what I saw Monday and Tuesday, I don't really have a problem with this, because they've now been on Monday Night Raw. Now they've brought it over to NXT, and they've talked about what they're going to do in NXT. And now they've got a match versus Damage Control, and it's carrying over. And, you know, we've talked about for a while how there's no real teams. There's no real feud. You know, we've got some teams now. Like, we've got a good little mix. We got a good little batch. We are building a feud with multiple teams right now. So, yeah, could things have been better? Of course. Things can always, you know, could have been probably been a little bit better. But I'm not, especially with the way it's all played out and how we've seen them now, like I said, on Raw. They had a nice big promo package on NXT. They're getting a big match next week. I don't really have an issue with this. I don't expect them to be out there having a 10-minute match. And I've talked about plenty of times, under this Triple H banner, we've gotten so accustomed to the long matches. A good 3-minute sprint, that's okay. Chelsea and Piper, they had a little distraction, caused a little, you know, that's another team right there. Like, I like what's building here. Yeah, let's give them a little bit more time in the ring, but I don't mind giving a 5-minute sprint every now and then. Just don't make it for the tag titles. Then you solve the problem. But for what we've seen coming out of Raw and NXT, I don't hate this like as much as I did when I first saw it, because now I at least know they're going to be around in this tag title scene going forward for a while.
For sure. And I felt good about them being at ringside, as we'll get to momentarily, from Monday Night Raw that was taped. And they're basically working in reverse to get to where we were last Friday. But for me, it's like, when you say that thing on Saturday, the formatting, what we did with Kevin, is like, you could have did this later on in the show. That's my only caveat. Like, that perception of it all is not a good look. And it's kind of like putting them in a tough position when they're telling a story that makes sense as well. You can do multiple things at the same time. Just space it out a bit better. You can still do the sprint, but space it out better, because I do think the end game is going to involve multiple teams in this feud, which I like to see, which we've been preaching for the last, let's be honest, 4 years. Like, since give us some depth since the inception of these titles, yeah, that have been like, yeah, they're here and we have good champions here and there, but they have no viable challengers. But we now see that being built upon, which is good to see. So hopefully we do see end results at Halloween Havoc, possibly at other shows for WWE, with that crossover with Jakar and Lash, which is big for them to be on these shows and also being on NXT as well, and keep feeding that synergy between all three shows, which I like to see, because it gives NXT more shine and gives the rooks out there more experience at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like you said, like we were talking about right now, it creates this kind of crossover opportunity. Like, you're not getting Lash on Raw without this tag title right now. That's just the reality of it. So this is giving them an opportunity. And it also, you know, you're not throwing these younger women like a lash, and like you're not throwing them out there by themselves. They've got somebody out there with them. They're out there with multiple women. Even for a Jay, like this is probably doing, people can say whatever they want about, you know, oh, she hasn't, and whatever they want. This is probably doing wonders for her, being able to work in this type of environment, slowly build herself. So then when she does go on this singles run probably next year, she, you know, she's going to have all her feet ready. Her feet will be wet. She's going to be ready to go. She's going to be used to everything. Like, this is all good. And having star power in the tag division is never a bad thing, especially if you don't have any plans for them as singles right now.
Absolutely. Star power is important. Depth is important. Building teams is important. And it feels like WWE possibly maybe is starting to do that. Fingers crossed on that. And speaking of teams making their debuts this Friday on SmackDown, I think there's something going on in terms of ternary potentially. We saw a vignette a week before last of cars driving down highway. Very fitting for who we think this could be. But now it's basically the Motor City Machine Guns are making that call up to the main roster. I think they were possibly earmarked for NXT. And then we found out the Lucha Brothers are locked up in AEW for probably a good year or so. And if they were the original team coming up, then hey, I'm happy for my crew, MC, MG, who's been hustling and bustling for a very long time on the indie scene and TNA, and now they finally get to make the big time and actually bring some depth and elevation to the SmackDown Tag Team Division, because right now it's still DIY and Street Profits, which is lovely, but hey, give me MSMG to shake things up as well.
It'd be the welcome addition, and it'll just be a breath of fresh air, just to have a different team on the screen, doing different things. They're going to bring a different pace. If you watch NXT, you've seen this pace before, because Fraxium is definitely at this pace. But if you're not watching NXT, then you're probably haven't seen this type of pace that you're going to get, the tag team wrestling that you're going to get. So, and what really works about it is, at any point in time, if they do want to go to NXT, there's a TNA crossover. Like, it just works all around. So this will be very exciting. I'm really excited about it, and I am curious to see how Triple H books them coming in. You know, what not necessarily what their first big match is, but what their first big feud is. How soon till they go after the tag titles? How are they presented? Are they presented as weekly? Here we go. Let's see what you got. Are we going to be showing them 1 week, then you get video packages for 2 weeks and you only get to see them maybe once or twice a month? Like, how are we going to present them? So I'm curious to see what he's going to do with a brand new toy that he gets to really kind of put out there and present.
Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language? Maybe you were inspired by a recent international trip, became obsessed with a foreign film or TV show, wanted to communicate better with a loved one, or just felt like developing a new skill. With Rosetta Stone, learning a new language is easier than you thought. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Japanese, Dutch, and more. Learning is immersive and designed for long-term retention, so you fully learn to speak, listen, and even think in that language. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Yes, big test coming. Very happy, especially for Alex Shelley. Long time coming for him as well. He's been working since he was a teenager. And he's been in this game for 20 plus years. And he finally makes the big time, getting some main roster money. Good for you. And I'm looking forward to how it goes and what Triple H is going to do with them. Week one, week two, week three, month four. Ultimately, will they be the ones that he throw in the bloodline, the new bloodline for those tag team titles? We shall see. But looking forward to their debut on SmackDown this Friday. As we get to some more Kevin Owens and him going after Randy Orton. And the cameras just so happen to catch the aftermath of it all. And I do wonder to myself, was this an actual confrontation or was this staged? Because I still don't trust Randy Orton to be the guy that is going to be the one that provides clarity, perspective, and nuance when we all know that we have RKO shirts out there that represent Randy and KO. And I saw a video of KO talking about how he's been silenced. And he has another video he could drop on SmackDown if he is denied the opportunity to speak his mind. He just so happens to wear his RKO t-shirt. So I think at some point very soon the fix is in and Randy and KO are in it together to take out Cody after what he did by realigning and aligning himself with the bloodline.
If this is the 2024 rated RKO, I'm cool with that, especially if they're going to be the heel version of it. I would be for that. I'm not quite as sure if it's going to go that way. I'm still expecting them to have a match in Saudi, but I don't know if that's announced or not, but that's kind of what is that announced?
No.
Yeah, that's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting them to have a match in Saudi, but yeah, I like your idea better, and I hope that I'm wrong and you're right.
Well, you know, that tends to be the case a lot on this show. You know, I tend to win.
You have been on one lately.
I've been on my Nostradamus. I've been on one. Yeah, I've been right. You've had your moments too. You know, no doubt about it. You predicted Raquel and you beat me to that. So I'm very proud of you, even though the execution sucked regarding her re-debut. But you were right. And I love that about you. And I love that I get to be right more, which makes me very happy.
Yeah, you're on a roll right now, so enjoy it. Because when the tides turn, I won't be as gracious.
Of course not. I expect nothing less. Cocky Scott Young will be in the chat.
That's a good one. That'll definitely come out. Yeah, don't let me call one because it's definitely going to be. I'm definitely going to put my Nostradamus. I've got to figure out how to spell it, and I'm gonna put that as my name.
Nostradamus Scott is gonna wear the hat, have the crystal ball, the feather, everything. So yeah. He's gonna brag one day. One day he's gonna hit one, and he's gonna brag for 20 minutes, and I won't be here. I'll be
It'll
off.
It'll be
the
when
air.
Bronny throws that lob to LeBron after he gets a chase down block.
Yeah, I won't be here for that. I'll be offline. So you can have that all to yourself. You can even tap in Gigi and talk about it and get on his nerves. So,
yeah, for sure. That's definitely happening.
All right, let's get to the main event of SmackDown from this past Friday night. It was Solo Sikoa versus Jimmy Uso, younger brother versus big brother. And this match was solid. you know, Brother Kim can be questionable at times, depending on the vibe. And I thought both guys delivered when it counted most. And of course, the numbers game came back to bite Jimmy. He loses to Solo. And when Roman tries to make the save, that backfires as well. And it's basically a reminder that, hey, guys, you need help. And we definitely got a hint of that this past Monday on Raw is taped from St. Louis. But I liked the flow of SmackDown mostly, despite some questionable moments here and there. But this main event basically laid the foundation for what we think is going to happen in a few weeks heading into Survivor Series and Vancouver, which will be the OG Bloodline and the new Bloodline going at it in War Games.
Yeah, good main event. Further the story, Solo gets a much needed win, which he definitely needs. And, you know, I've been saying it for weeks. This new Bloodline is, again, they're solid, man. They're a solid heel group, a solid top heel group for your baby faces to take down. They got everything you need. They got a top heel who's been positioned as that. They got a good tag team in G.O.D. And then you have a monster who can be let loose on anybody. Like, you have the makings of a great team. That's a great unit right there. So, I think they've done a good job of establishing them, of making them that threat for Roman. And I mean, this is not, we got to think, when's the last time Roman's been beat down multiple times against somebody in the last 4 years? So, like, I think they're doing a really good job with Solo and the crew.
Yes, Roman getting beat down like this is very rare. And to see it happen with regularity makes you want to see the reunion of Roman getting help and Jimmy getting his brother back and Sammy being in the mix too, and Paul Heyman bringing the crew all back together again, because Roman didn't make a point saying, I'm not a wise man yet. And that might be his future down the road when he passes that baton to the proper tribal chief, which could be Jimmy or Jay, which is nice foreshadowing for down the road. So overall, decent SmackDown post Bad Blood on Peacock as we get to Monday Night Raw, which was taped from St. Louis, Missouri over a week ago. And we kick things off with Rhea Ripley coming out to call out Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez for what they've done to her, dating back to Bad Blood and what happened on SmackDown as well, which ties into going back and forth between the past and the present and future of how they book ahead in WWE to get us to where we were this past Monday. Liv and Raquel come out. And then we have Tiffany randomly coming out as well, because she reps Nia Jax and she was putting Rhea on notice about how she needs to stay out of Nia's business. This leads to a brawl between all four ladies and everybody gets hit, whether you're a babyface or a heel. And noted crisis management expert Adam Pearce, who admits, Scott, on Monday, he just lets shit fly. He just allows all out mayhem and expects decorum at the same time.
Yeah, he admitted he didn't have a clue how to do his job. So he admitted on national television, hey, I don't have any control over anything that goes on here. Not a clue. So that's why he was like, I so appreciate you, Braun, because I don't have any control over anything going on.
The fact he admitted that,
he's a clown.
He is a clown. And I love Scrap Daddy, but for that,
wow,
you ain't shit for that, man. You basically said, I just let you run one shot. I let them do what they do. And then when I need to mediate and then when I need to regulate, I do what I got to do. It's like,
yeah, when he gets serious, listen to me. Take his glasses off and start.
Not the traumatization. He snatched the glasses off just like that.
That's what he do. Like, all right, dude, what do you think you're doing? You're not gonna get in the ring. You're not gonna hit nobody.
He does that. He pops the jacket, hands on hip. That's exactly what he does.
He do throw the hands on the hip too.
Then he raises his voice. His nose flares up. Like, I've had enough. Enough. Like, dude,
yeah,
he's trying to run for like 3 months and now you want to act like you want to do something. Be for real.
I wouldn't mind seeing him and Nick Aldis, though. You could do that. That's fine for that. That'd be cool for Survivor Series.
Listen, I need him to stop being scared and actually commit to a match, because we almost got there when Roman wanted that man for the Warrior Rumble, and he just said, Kevin could do it for me. Thank you. Just,
I was actually looking forward to the Pierce one, because they probably would have did some fun stuff with that.
Yeah, hyped it up, and then they swerved us. Damn it. But maybe one day Aldis and Pierce will give us a little something. I think Aldis might have healed up from his triceps tear at this point, but we shall see. But in any event, Adam Pearce, noted expert to solve problems, booked Rhea Ripley and Tiffany Stratton together as a tag team versus Raquel and Liv Morgan as the main event of Monday Night Raw. Strange bedfellows indeed, as we'll get to later. But then we had a very good match. Best match on the show, which was Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill, the women's tag team champions, versus Damage Control, Io Sky and Kairi Sane for the titles. I really enjoyed this match. Got time. They balled out. Io is a fantastic wrestler, obviously, and Bianca is one of the very best at what she does. Jade's improving too. Kairi's a seasoned vet. The chemistry was everything. Love the high spots. Love the near falls. Everything about this is great. We had Jakara and Lashley at ringside causing trouble for Io. When Jakara grabbed the hair, that was a wrap, and Lash basically punched out Io, and Io sold. And then Bianca Belair goes for the press. She's going for a press, turned that thing into a KOD, and Io just sold it beautifully for the 1-2-3 as Jade and Bianca retain the tag team titles thanks to a small assist for Rum, Lash, and Jakara. So I'm hoping that all of these teams will align up and be a part of Halloween Havoc. That is my dream scenario. Will we get it? I don't know. But all of this is happening for a reason.
So I don't think we'll get it at Halloween Havoc, because I don't think they're going to want to take that shine off of Julia and Stephanie. Like, I think they want that to be the, because I might mess around in main event while we're sleeping on it. But I think they want that to be that marquee women's match. But would I love to see it? Yeah, I'd love to see a three-way. I think that'd be great. I also think that could headline a show you do on the road. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's, so they have options there, but I definitely think they want that Stephanie, Julia versus Roxanne and Cora to be the headlining match. But again, hopefully I'm wrong and you're right, because I think that would be a great addition to the card.
Me too. And we will get to NXT momentarily, the planting seeds possibly. We'll see. I would like to be right. Am I right? We'll find out in due time. But Monday Night Raw was also a bunch of video packages because it was taped. And one of the better ones was Bron Breakker explaining himself as to why he did what he did. And I like guys that explain themselves, that offer an explanation for what happened. And he basically said that Jay curved him. You know, I came out there. I was humble. I was nice. I was saying congratulations to you. And I turn around and this guy doesn't even believe me, doesn't acknowledge me, doesn't appreciate me. So you know what? I showed my ass. So I came out there, I speared him. I let him know that I'm coming back for my Intercontinental Championship, and let it be known, dude, it took you 14 years to do something I've done in months. And you have your family, you have your tribe, you have your bloodline. I have mine too. But you know what? I don't need them to make it through the door. I don't need my uncle. I don't need my daddy. You need your daddy. You need your cousin. You need your brothers. And that's on you. That's on me to do what I need to do to win back my championship. And there is a rematch going down. And based on what's going on, got a feeling Bron's probably going to get back his championship.
So I remember after he won that, when we talked about it, and I remember saying that Bron, you know, that Jay, you know, was healing on him. I remember saying that after that. And I don't think Bron is the heel here. I said it last week when it came to Xavier Woods. Still don't think Bron's the heel. Okay. I'm just saying, he's done nothing wrong. Okay. He's tried to show respect, and the baby face tried to play. I'm talking about some yeet. Want to yeet my face after I just get, nah, bro. Pause. And nah, bro. Okay. So yeah, he did nothing wrong. And then Xavier Woods, that coward. Of course I'm gonna go chase down that coward. Okay, that's what a babyface does. You chase down the cowardly heel. Bron Breakker is the babyface in this story. Okay. This is the ultimate babyface story being told from a monster's point of view. You know, that new movie that just came out from a monster, that's all from a monster's point of view. This is that Bron Breakker story.
You know, I was rolling with you for like two sentences. And then you had the temerity and the nerve and the gall and the gumption to conflating Bron, who has a legitimate issue with Jay for curving him, for shading him. And you try to say that it's on the same level as Xavier Woods. No, it is 100%. Not. No, it's not. Paul, I am sorry, because he's trying to get that lick back for what you said, that yes, what he did to Ray qualifies as cheating. Okay. The two are not the same. Bron and Xavier Woods are not mutually exclusive. Stop it. The conflation, no. No, it is, no, that is not true. Stop it right now.
David didn't cheat either.
Yes, he did.
He didn't become a bad guy until he tried to run away. Him winning the match by taking the mask off wasn't cheating.
Yes, it was.
He didn't become a bad guy until he tried to run away. That's when he became the bad guy.
Both are egregious, and they're not the same.
I will agree. It is egregious to take that man's mask off. Disrespectful and egregious. He didn't cheat, though.
Yes, he did.
Just because he was disrespectful doesn't mean he cheated. It's 100% disrespectful.
Okay? Yes.
But it's not cheating.
He's a disrespectful cheater, and that will be acknowledged. You're trying it. You're trying every excuse to say.
Just saying. He did not. We got to put this to the chat. Okay. In Discord, I need to know. First, two questions. Is it cheating to take a luchador's mask off, even though it's not in the rules? And second question, is Bron Breakker the heel, even though he chased down the cowardly heel and then beat up the babyface who tried to bully him?
I already cleared Bron Breakker of the heel allegations. He's a babyface. I've cleared him. Okay. He got that fade and he, you know, did what he needed to do. And he talks that talk and he backs it up. He's cleared. Xavier Woods is not exonerated for taking that man's mask and pitting him. That is cheating.
It's not cheating.
Yes, it is.
All right. Like I said, it's not in the, until it's in the rule book, it's not cheating.
You know, we need the official WWE rule book, which tends to change with amendments every couple of weeks. So we'll see.
Or referee. Because, you know, if you ask for a minute of freedom, they'll let you do whatever you want. Yeah, you deserve that, Rhea.
On camera. Taking a bribe.
Ref cam.
Saying, go ahead, girl. Get your lick in. Like, the egregiousness of that man. And speaking of egregiousness, let's talk about that egregious American-made vignette. That was some...
Go ahead.
It was a big old slice of American pie. And I thought I was watching a hybrid of a reboot of American Gladiators and G.I. Joe rode into one. And I didn't hate it, but I feel like it's on the edge of being corny as hell, if it isn't already. I kind of need them to tap in to be a bit more serious, because Brutus is completely unserious.
Oh, Brutus is Scrappy-Doo.
He is Scrappy-Doo all day. Like, he is the hyperactive puppy that's big and adorable, but he has no chill. And Julius, you know, that's my dude, Cheddar Biscuits all day. And Ivy's the more serious of the crew. And Chad, we know, can be serious and a ham. So, like, they need to pick a lane here, decide what you want to do. Do you want to be serious? Do you want to be hammy? It's up to you. The vignette wasn't boring. It had my attention. But I need to know the tone they're setting. Should I take you guys seriously as a legit badass team? Or are you all camp for laughs and giggles, which is cool, but I can't take you seriously.
Yeah, once Julius threw the flag up like this when he said American made, Julius was like, And you got Brutus over here. I, you know, I was done. So, yeah, it's that. Who cares? They'll be they'll put on good matches, and there you go.
Damn, Scott's built the ceiling, and there's not much there to it. The flag thing. Listen, I love Julius. The flag was just. It felt like I was watching remedial NXT way back when you're trying to find a gimmick that works. And that was like one of the promo tapes they put in on a bigger budget.
I don't know what it was.
I was perplexed. They need to find the tone and strike the balance, and they need to do it soon because they already got punked out by the Wyatt Six and they need to bounce back in this tournament, but we shall see. Then we have the OG Alpha Academy, Otis and Akira Tozawa versus the Mystery Team in this tournament to determine the number one contenders for the World Tag Team Championships, which are currently held by Finn Balor and JD McDonagh, who barely defend the titles, as we see every single time they don't defend the titles. And it was not the Viking Raiders. No. It was the War Raiders. Eric and I are out there putting in that work. I was very happy to see them get their old names back because they were typecast as Vikings for a very long time in WWE. That was clearly a Paul Levesque move to say, what we're not going to do is this. We're going to go back to what I wanted you guys to be before the call up. War Raiders. We're going to ditch the gimmick. You're Vikings in real life, but you don't have to be Vikings on TV in a very exaggerated, dated way. So I'm glad they're back to being who they are. It's going to take some time for fans to really warm up to them. But once they get the reps and get mic time, they're going to be a great tag team in WWE, and they will get over as baby faces. Let them completely go off and be themselves. This is the reset they needed.
Yep. It was a good re-debut, nice finisher, and they should have a good run in the tournament.
I agree. Then we get Cody Rhodes coming out to talk about his Crown Jewel championship match against Gunther at Crown Jewel in a couple of weeks' time on Peacock. And we had Gunther come out there, and he's basically complimentary of Cody, saying, listen, you are the quarterback. You are the guy that makes all the dates. You go all over the world to make sure that you put smiles on people's faces. You're the hardest working guy in this company, and I can respect that. But, you know, you have a tendency of being too trusting and that your friendships fall apart when they count the most. And I wonder about that. I wonder about your mindset heading into our match for the Crown Jewel Championship, something I'm going to win, by the way. And Cody is saying, you know, hey, you ain't met me at my very best as a champion, but you will. And their only prior encounter was the Royal Rumble. And I'm looking forward to this match for this gaudy, egregious championship, which should, you know, it'll be around for one day, maybe two, to flaunt the belt, then it'd be, and then it will be retired for the next year or so. But I'm looking forward to the match. It should be very good. And I like the fact that Gunther continues to be one of the better shit talkers in WWE. Basically call that man to his face, which is brazen, a secondary champion.
Yes, another strong segment. Gunther continues to show why he's one of the more underappreciated people on the mic. And I like the fact that he makes the claim to making sure people know he's the better champion. This is a man who doesn't really know what it's like to not have gold around his waist, and he does a great job of holding it. So, like you said, the match will be great, and I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. So all in all, a good segment to hype up their match for Crown Jewel in a few weeks' time on Peacock. Now let's get to something else that happened on Monday Night Raw, which was The Miz and R-Truth. And things happened involving Karrion Kross, and things existed. And I'll let Scott take it because I don't care.
Ain't much happened. Truth got to roll up. Miz hit a skull. White Six are going to kill the Dark Testament, or the final, or the old Testament, whichever,
Wait a minute.
So, shout out to the Book of Exodus from the Old Testament. That's exactly what the Wyatt Six are going to do. They're going to Exodus this Old Testament. So that's what's coming right there. So that's what we got right there.
You did not say this group was called the Old Testament.
And they're about to get the Exodus.
Yes. And
they don't have any young people to be the New Testament. All they got is old heads.
Well, when you have Paul Ellering there, you are like in the old book, the old King James version of the Bible.
See, I didn't insult him that much. I was at least going to give him the new King James. You gave him the old King James edition.
Listen, there in that old dusty Bible, the original one, parched
NIV,
paper.
The New International Version.
Oh, my God. Well, listen, at least we didn't say they're from the Bible app, because that would have been real insulting. Not the current edition translated in over 100 languages. Come on now.
They said, we're going to give it to you however you want it. You let us know the language. We got you.
And, you know, no matter the language for the Final Testament, we don't care.
I don't hate the Carrion Cross character, because he's a real character and he's got a real trail. I mean, he leaves a trail, man, like, say what you want. So I'm kind of looking forward to them versus the Wyatt Six. I think they're going to put on good matches. I'm looking forward to that.
Might be the most shine this crew gets, honestly.
Yeah,
I'm not
I think opposed it'll be good.
To it. I agree. We'll see. We shall see for sure. But just curious how much you're getting pushed throughout all of this. And I think at this point, they're becoming a gimmick too. And that's fine, because nothing else is working for them. You might as well lean into the comedy of it all. When you're with The Miz, you are going to become a joke in some ways. So.
Yeah, that's where they are right now. The Miz is just a guy who, he's just taking up TV time. That's it.
Yes, he's making sure he pays down that beautiful, big, extravagant mansion in Las Vegas. Somebody got to pay the bills, and this is the way you got to do it.
That dude knew he wasn't wrestling no serious match. He ain't put no tape on. He was like, yeah, this ain't gonna take long. Let me just put the shirt on real quick.
Quick work makes the dream work, I tell you. Very true.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
As we get to our main event, which is Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan on opposite sides as they teamed with Raquel and Tiffany Stratton. This match was all right for what it was, you know, basically trying to tell multiple stories at one time as Nia Jax makes her presence known in the main event, ends this match via disqualification, goes after everybody that's not Tiffany Stratton, essentially, and stands tall to say, hey, this is my run here as champion. I'm coming for everybody. And I do like that. And she was cheered, which is rare. And she went after Liv Morgan, who was heel on this show as the women's champion. So I felt like They're building towards a match that is going to be interesting because both ladies are heels. But I think for all intents and purposes, Nia is the babyface going into this feud because we go back to Friday Night SmackDown on Fox. It was her and Naomi, and there was interference which enabled Naomi to win, and it just gave leeway to Rhea Ripley coming out there as well, which she talked about on Monday Night Raw as they worked backwards from the tape show to what we got on SmackDown this past Friday. So a lot of moving parts here, and I think that I expect Rhea and Nia and all of them to interact heading into Crown Jewel a bit more as, of course, Rhea teased a riptide on Nia. She's done it before. This one, with more stakes and more meaning, would mean more.
I could see her coming out and giving them both the riptide. Like, I could see her laying Liv out and her looking at Nia and Nia saying something slick to her, and Rhea being like, oh yeah, and gives her a riptide and then puts Liv on top of Nia just because she says something slick to her and just to give Liv the victory. And it's like, well, why would you do that? Well, you pissed me off even more. I hate you both. I just hate you more right now. I could see that happening.
Hateration everywhere is who you hate the least to get through this feud, which is interesting. Exactly. Hey, Tiffany being a temp face and Aya being a temp face, it all makes sense here. And Rhea's in the mix too, and they can spin off matches between those two at some point as well. So I do love at this time of year, roster split be damned. Brand extension, what? Everybody hops around with zero explanation for it.
Well, I mean, Adam Pearce already said he has no control over the show, so the door's wide open.
He got paid basically to say that, and that was crazy. And speaking of that, he basically said that to Bronson Reed to make him understand, hey, I do what I have to do by doing nothing. And then when I have to do something, I sit here at your house and discuss it in front of cameras about what we're not going to do. But what we'll ultimately do is give you a match against Seth. And we're going to figure that out probably for Crown Jewel. But at least he's trying to do his job to broker peace and get his matches in for the checks.
I guess. I guess.
He at least he admitted it after all this time.
I'll give you that.
He's a fraudster.
At least he admitted he has no idea what he's doing.
Exactly. Being honest about that was very big of him.
He's the Mike Adamley of GMs.
No. Let's not do that. Let's not do that. That was a dark period for us. If he was an ECW watcher on Sci-Fi, that was a tough time, man. And Scott tried it. Adam Pearce isn't that incompetent.
He's about as good as Armando Alejandro Estrada was as a GM of ECW.
Progress.
Is it?
Yeah. Better than Mike Adamley. That's crazy.
That's crazy.
No, absolutely not. And then our last tidbit that we teased earlier was Jimmy. I'm trying to figure out which arena they pretended they were in to sell it. Were they in St. Louis or South Carolina? And Jimmy was there to seek out Jay. And Jay twice said, deuces. He left the room, went to another room and says, listen, I have nothing to say to you. And he left. And I'm laughing at the fact that Jay doesn't have a formal dressing room with his name on the door. He just in random door number 4 as he just checked out his brother and says, listen, I have nothing to say to you. You're on your own. Good luck with that. But I do think eventually Jay is going to be swayed to rejoin his family heading into Survivor Series. And I think it will be contingent on him possibly losing his IC title next week to Bron Breakker.
Yeah, I think he'll actually have the title. I think it'll mean more if he shows up with the title. And like, you know, at least for the first time, being like, yo, look at what I've done without you, my guys. You know, then maybe, but I think he should absolutely show up to Roman with the title, him having gold and Roman not having gold.
The dichotomy of that and how Jay is feasting as being a champion, being in the main events and getting that glory on his own when he had to share it with the bloodline all those years ago. And I think that is going to be an interesting source of contention for Roman as he reconciles all of this, which is a great story. And I'm sure they're going to dive in eventually as well. And I'd be remiss not to say that Sammy is not busy right now. He's got the time. So I think it's going to be a great story to build up what will be a really fun Bloodline reunion on SmackDown in the weeks to come heading into Survivor Series. But that was Monday Night Raw, a tape show. It was aye for what it was as we keep moving ahead towards Crown Jewel.
Mm-hmm.
And now it is time to talk about NXT, the first show back at the WWE Performance Center in a few weeks. And we heard that they was trying to revamp the overall feel and vibe of the building, you know, do some things, got a new stage, got a new layout of the land here, the new colors, very predominant in the building, which I liked. But Scott, your impressions of the revamped experience at the PC for NXT?
I didn't really notice, to be honest with you. I noticed that the splatter was gone, so it just looked like it got a new paint job. So I don't know. Maybe they went to a different room.
Not a different room, dude.
I saw the new logo. I was like, oh, cool. They got a new cardboard. So I guess, you know, they went to the lot B instead of lot A this time.
Not lot A. Lot A is crazy.
Just saying. I'm just keeping it a buck. I didn't really notice. It looked the same to me. We just they painted over the splatter.
It looked different. It's more. Listen, it was no more imaginary AI people as crowd members. It was a sleek background of the logo, and the set looked modified. It was a little bit more spacious.
It didn't look like last week, I can tell you that.
Oh, absolutely not. Like last week in St. Louis was a vibe. And That's why they need to get out of the PC more often to just have fun. And this crowd reminded me why I missed them being outside the PC. So we kick things off with Tony D'Angelo in the darkness, sipping on Merlot to acknowledge Obafemi for being a great North American champion. And he admitted that Oba broke him, you know, kind of nuked his confidence for a bit, but he bounced back and he said, you know, I did what I did. I got in your head. I made you doubt yourself. I played your game and won. And now I am the North American champion. What about it? Obafemi comes out and basically says, you got lucky. You had your family by your side, but they won't be for the next go around when I go after you to regain the championship that I made famous, that I made relevant for the last few months. And he spins the wheel to make the deal, and it is tables, ladders, and scares. Match three between Obafemi and Tony D'Angelo for the North American Championship at Halloween Havoc next Sunday in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and I think it'll be a good match. I think this will give all the bells and whistles and give an out for Oba, for him to miss a big dive or to go through a big, you know, take a big splash through a table. But this definitely will give Tony D a reason to beat him twice.
Definitely. And a crazy match that should probably be a show stealer when it's all said and done. Cause hey, I want to see what both guys do with the elements of ladders and tables and scares in between. Should be very good. And then we get the debut officially of Stephanie Vacker on NXT versus Rin Sinclair. And I thought this was a very good technical match. And it was a rare case. If it wasn't mad, it went long. It just went the right length. And it basically showcased how great and smooth Stephanie is as a worker. And the fans were into it, which I appreciated. Rin, you know, she's been showing out. She has really good personality. And I think being a part of the No Quarter Catch crew is a wonder for her and this crew as well, as she finds herself as a character that fans are getting behind more often, potentially as a babyface down the road. But for Stephanie, great debut. Her bag is great in terms of what she does in the ring. The reversals, the transitions, the submission work, it is top notch. And it's a reminder that, damn, like what she did with Mercedes back at Forbidden Door, that was not an aberration. She is legit.
It is really good. This is one of the first times I've really seen her. And it was good. And I came away impressed with Rin as well. I thought she stood out in a good way. even though the match wasn't meant for her to stand out, I thought really says a lot about her. So this was good. The beatdown was good. And we're going to get the big tag match at Halloween Havoc, which should also be a good match.
Yes, absolutely. Now we get to the odd potential babyface turn of Lexus King. And I will say that this babyface turn must be real because his beard was 50% less egregious this week. The dye job wasn't as dying as much as it was before, because I used to cringe looking at his face every week because that beard was so ugly, but he's toning it down a bit and it could be completely gone soon, which would be a blessing in of itself. And he had a match against Ora Mensah. It was a gentleman's duel, which means you couldn't go outside the ring. You couldn't do anything that would signal a DQ. You had to break before the count of five by three, actually. There were just strict rules. Couldn't go on the outside. You couldn't do a whole lot of anything without getting DQ'd. And both guys played into the rules. They didn't go over the top. And Lexus King, after a solid match with a few hiccups here and there, was actually going to win clean without shenanigans.
Yeah, Lexus stopped using the hair dye that Carlos Boozer was using to give himself hair for the last 10 years of his career. And yeah, this is solid. This is Ora Mensah. I think he's another guy who has really been able to take an unfortunate situation and make the most of it. With Noam out with injury, he's been able to really step up as far as the in-ring and taking the opportunities he's been given. Lexus is somebody who I think has done a real good job in NXT. He's been able to find himself. And I'm not so quick to on the babyface turn yet. I still think he may be setting somebody up for a big heel turn. I think he's doing a really good job of being earnest, but I think he goes a little over the top. Like, I thought the Tony D thing was a bit much. Like, I think that might be the guy he's setting up. Like, I think he's setting somebody up for a big heel turn, being acting all nice, and he's gonna be like, "Oh, this was so awful. I hated doing this for so long." I would keep an eye on him.
Oh yeah, I'm intrigued, and I haven't been that way in a minute. And it could go either way. I'm not bored, which is refreshing. Not you saying that. This guy was using that hair dye. That's insane, but I digress.
For sure.
Color number 12, because that color was really, really loud.
It was either that or the toothbrush that Ashanti was using, so.
I can't with you. That was a low blow. Ashanti did not deserve that.
The low blow was Ashanti using a toothbrush on his beard. You're too old for that, bro. You're too old and you got too much money for that.
Get a comb.
You're too old. You got too much money. You got too much swag. And you look way too good to be using a toothbrush on your beard.
Hey.
You can't be called the Adonis using a toothbrush on your beard.
He says, "I have to get into work."
Nah, he ain't say nothing.
Yes, he did. Got that new hairdo too. Got the twist. It said, "Listen, Scott's like, I'm unimpressed."
I am. I was disgusted. Wow. I've never. Like, what is the toothbrush doing? What is the toothbrush doing that a comb, a brush with the fist, or whatever? What is the toothbrush doing that those things, those adult utensils, are not doing for you?
Not adult utensils.
I'm just saying.
Crazy. Like,
what are we on right now?
NXT After Dark is what that is. We got like a bachelorette with a rose, a dying cheap rose, trying to flirt his way through the locker room, and Carmen Petrovic. And she might be falling for it. Carmen, stand up. You deserve better than this, for God's sakes.
Jeez. You deserve a man with a comb.
Wow. A real comb with teeth and not a toothbrush.
And a fist.
And a fist.
I'm cool with you going with for a brother, but at least go for a brother that decides to use a comb and not a toothbrush on his face. Toothbrush go in your mouth, not on your face. Pause.
Too late to pause that. There's no going back, but it's all good. Legit.
All right.
As we get to the returning Nikita Lyons versus Lola Vice, that match was all right for what it was. We got some more things going on as they try to tell multiple stories at one time with Miss Jada Parker coming out there to basically antagonize Lola because they were tag team partners 2 weeks ago during the initial premiere of NXT on the CW. They did not get along and they're beefing, and she cost Lola the match. And Nikita, who was so upset by this, just just splashed for the pin. Didn't even chew out Miss Parker for now. She got the win. Congratulations. Here's another feud that is being spawned through tension in a good way, away from the North American and NXT women's titles. And I do sense that maybe all of these ladies will play a role in my favorite concept of the year for WWE, Deadline in December.
That or the Dusty, or both. I don't see Nikita being in that Deadline match. I think you could take this how you want. This is probably the best Nikita match she's ever had. Maybe that says more about Lola, but I thought the match was solid. I thought Nikita looked pretty good in the match. I thought she looked more like a wrestler than she did in any of her previous matches. I thought the strikes were a lot better. I thought she was just more on pace, more on par. I thought this was really good. I think Lola's great. She's fantastic. And I kind of want the world for her. So tired of her taking these losses. Jada's still my client, but I think I'm going to be slipping a second card over to Lola because I think she's great. And I think she's ready.
I think so as well. Turning babyface was the best thing that happened to her because I thought she was miscast for the longest time. The Roxanne Perez feud definitely helped her get out of her shell to be the babyface she's meant to be. And she's going to be thriving in that role for a very long time. Just got to give her the story and fuse to match as well. But overall, good piece of business to forward multiple feuds at one time in a very jam-packed and stacked NXT women's division. As we just leapfrog to the main event of NXT, which was a triple threat match involving Javon Evans and All Ego Ethan Page and Wesley, the winner will face Trick Williams for the NXT Championship at Halloween Havoc next Sunday in Hershey, Pennsylvania. I thought this match was outstanding. I thought this was a great showcase for Javon in particular. This guy balled out, had hops for days. The fans were with him, wanted him to win. And I think my issue is still the pinning of him when it counts the most. Like Wesley, if he's not going to get the push and the rub anytime soon, he's right there. But once again, Javon gets rolled up by All Ego Ethan Page. And Javon had this match won a few times. Fans were biting on those near falls, which was great to see. But it wasn't meant to be, as All Ego Ethan Page wins the match. She spins the wheel, makes the deal, Trick's out there as well. And they will have a Devil's Playground match at Halloween Havoc. So gimmicks galore. It's going to be pumpkins. It's going to be a bunch of stuff. Bobbing for apples. I expect a lot of crap going on in this match in a good way. And hopefully this will be the last time we'll see All Ego. This will be the last time we see Page and Trick, because I think this feud has run its course. It's a little stale now. A good finale incoming.
I don't have a problem with Evans taking these losses right now, because I think there is kind of a boiling that's happening right now. As you could tell, they are just waiting for him to get that big victory. And I think that big, I know last week you and I both kind of talked about, you mentioned it first and I kind of hopped on board with Oba being your Deadline winner and taking that to Stand and Deliver. I think it might be Evans, because that's the type of match we saw what Trick did with it. And we saw how Trick came from behind, hit like had four pins in the last like minute or something like that over Braun, Ilya, Carmel. Like, I think we see something like that from Evans, where he just, like, just imagine him in a five-way where he can just springboard, cutter, top rope, like, I think we're getting that type of finish. You went with Oba. I'm going with Evans for my deadline pick, and I think he'll take it all the way and win that title because I think they're building towards him getting those big victories.
I agree. I thought about that too, honestly. So I guess great minds think alike, that I thought to myself, you know what? If the end of the year does not result in Javon winning deadline, I question everything, because it has to lead to that. It has to lead to him earning a shot at the NXT title and the best concept they have in WWE. It fits him and it makes sense. He should win it without question. He should win it. Will he win it? I don't know. But all the losses, I can almost forgive it if it's meant for him to be in deadline and winning it. That's the key. He's got to win.
In my perfect world, I would have Oba beat Trick. Probably, you know, not Halloween Havoc, maybe not the next one, but maybe like around Royal Rumble time. I'm not sure what the NXT PLE would be, but I would probably have Oba beat Trick around that time. Have him have a nice run. And you really want to put Evans on the map and really make that these wins mean something. You have him win that deadline match, and then you have him not only win the NXT title, you have him beat the monster of NXT, Oba, as your NXT champion. You want to talk about making somebody. You want to talk about making a black star with a black star coming off of a black star. I mean, I think Evans beating Oba for the NXT title after winning the deadline match, you've got a bona fide superstar and face of the brand as your old face gets ready to move up and take on that next endeavor.
I agree. We set the table. It's up to Sean to, you know, execute. I think there's a plan here. We'll see in December. Overall, I thought this was a solid NXT. You know, easy breezy, 2 hours to get by. Formatting is getting better, obviously, because you don't have that overrun anymore. You got to make way for local news off top at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern. But overall, good show to hype up Halloween Havoc. Looking forward to the PLE next Sunday. Kind of snuck up on us because they're just now promoting matches and spinning the wheel to add steps to the card. But it should be a good card when it's all put together next week.
I think so, too. And I like the fact that this isn't just a NXT special. It's a PLE. So I'm looking forward to it. NXT is probably my favorite show right now. And I'm glad they're continuing to let the culture cook.
Me too. I feel the same as well. And that is a wrap for all things WWE so far this week. Still got SmackDown going down live on USA on Friday night as the build towards Crown Jewel continues. And with that, Scott, I want to thank you as always for joining me as we recap the week so far in WWE. Before we go, because it's mandatory here, you know, I could talk about all the shows, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Level Up, WWE Speed, main events, little thing, but what was your match of the week, even though you're going to go there?
You know, my man TK had a good week. You know, World's End was a good show, a lot of good pub coming out of it. I guess my match of the week would be Tony Khan and just no show and scrums. I guess that's what you do. And then you got your women's champion up there, and what do you know? Nobody wants to ask a question. What do you know? I bet you that wouldn't have happened if TK would have showed up to that scrum. But that's not your fault. I'm going to let you slide on that because you had a good week. Wrestle Dream was a good show. A lot of good coming out of that. Darby Allin will be your new AEW World Champion in 2025. And Orange Cassidy will be defeating Okada for his title in 2025. Hook will also be beating, will be winning the international title. And DG will be beating Jungle Boy Jack Perry for the TNT title. So there's that. WWE match, triple threat.
My My mind broke when you said all of that. Because I know you're full of crap.
I meant that. Those are your next four champions by 2025.
We're going to come back here, reassess, and see if Scott is right. Will he brag about this being right on the money? We shall see. Brazen prediction by him with all the shade attached to it.
Listen, no shade. All seriousness. Darby Allin, and I legit mean this, Darby Allin is probably the greatest success story AEW has ever had. But if they're not careful, Willow's going to take that place real soon.
I'm still broken.
No shade.
I still can't get over what just happened here. The unseriousness of what you said was truly the most egregious part of all of this. But we move nonetheless, as this is a great recurring theme on this show. It is Scott versus Tony Khan every Wednesday morning. It is the feud of our time. Forget the Young Bucks and their nonsensical feud against Tony for power of AEW. The true heat is with Scott finding a new way to drag this man every Wednesday. And the opening is barely there. But he says, you know what? I'm going to take this opportunity to find something to get him. And he did it again in the most roundabout, egregious way.
He just doesn't care about women's wrestling.
Wow.
Shout out to Athena. Can't wait to see her on an AEW pay-per-view.
Wow. Put the gun down.
I'm looking forward to watching the Queen this week, though. At least she gets to wrestle on TV. At least she gets to wrestle on TV, you know?
Yes, as she will face Mercedes Moné.
Not the longest reigning champion, no. But you know.
That's hiding behind a paywall, but I digress.
But Hunter hates black people.
Wow.
I'm done.
I made the biggest mistake by giving you more time.
Yeah, you gave me more time. I'm sorry. I'm done.
I feel so bad. I apologize, listeners out there.
I'm done.
I gave Scott more time. He says, let me be as just extra as possible in the name of the truth, according to Scott Young. And with that, that is a wrap for all things WWE via this show. I want to thank him for doing the absolute most. Without him, this show would truly be lost. And it still is lost because he really went there.
Thank you, Keila. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. I will not be no-showing our scrum next week. So I look forward to talking to you and having another great week at WWE.
Look at that classy sign off, trying to do the good thing after all of what you just did. But we'll be back next Wednesday morning. It's going to be a special show as we preview Halloween Havoc, put the finishing touches on Crown Jewel, and get you ready for another live show, most likely on that Sunday night following Halloween Havoc on Peacock. Should be a fun show. Looking forward to it. And we'll be back next week. So until then, enjoy the rest of the week. For all things WWE, check out SmackDown this Friday on USA. So for myself and for Salty Scott Young, who provided that extra salt for one Tony Khan at the very end of this episode, Morton could never. Enjoy the rest of your week. Until next time, take care. Bye-bye. Get off Tony's neck, Scott.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.